This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. I'm David, and I'm happy to be joined, as usual, by Andy.
You all right, mate? How are you?
Very well. And Dean?
Evening, chaps. How's it going?
Yeah, good, it's mate. Another busy period in the Championship for the Sky Blues chaps, and another frustrating week as we lost both fixtures against Forest and Watford, both away from home. How are we feeling about this week's results? Myself, I'm a little bit down because I feel like we could have actually got something from both games. And it's just a bit of a frustration, but it's just that hard reality check again that we're in the Championship, Dean.
Yeah, frustrating is the word, isn't it? I feel like we've come away with 0 points this week, where the reality is we could have came away with six off two good teams in this division, especially Watford. And we've come away with absolutely nothing. So, yeah, frustrating. I do feel a little bit down in the dumps at the moment. And I think this international break is probably coming at the right time, not only for myself, but for the team as well. It's time to regroup and reevaluate.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems that actually the international break will support in things like players that perhaps could have done a job in the last two fixtures who have been missing, Andy. But how are you feeling?
A bit like everyone, frustrated, angry, annoyed. Combination of all those three, really. Like Dean said, I think that it could have been six, four minimum points we should have had on the board. And it's just very disappointing that we've come away with no points and more questions than answers, shall we say.
Yeah, and without further ado, let's get cracking with the review of the first fixture. Of course, we played Nottingham Forest on Wednesday evening away from home and lost with the last kick of the game. Andy, what did the stats look like? And did it look one-sided?
We were
in the game, weren't we?
Yeah, we were, especially second half. First half was poor by us, but second half was decent. And we had similar possession, 49 possession in our favour. For us, we had 15 shots compared to their 15, so again, similar. 440 attempted passes compared to 463 in their favour. However, defensively, we won 63 duels compared to their 57, and we won 16 tackles compared to their 10. So it was a committed, better performance, especially second half. First half was poor. I don't think it was particularly good at all, but second half, we should have easily took the 3 points away from the City ground.
Yeah, and before the goal, looking back at some of the key points of the game, there was a bit of a warning, and it was a header from the corner, actually. And we've struggled a little bit from set pieces already this season, haven't we, Dean?
Yes, that's zonal marking, isn't it? We've mentioned it 2, 3, 4 times this season, and we just don't know how to do it properly. And I honestly don't believe in the zonal marking system personally anyway. I think if you can out-battle your man, then you'll win the ball, obviously. The zonal marking system gives the opposition team so much room to move onto the ball.
We're no slouches in the air either, are we? I mean, McFadden has always been strong in the air. Ostergaard, both attacking and defensive, leaps like a salmon. So it's an odd one. Why do you think Robbins has opted for that zonal?
I think he thinks because we've got quite a tall defensive unit, we should be able to deal with anything that comes in the box, but it's not the case. We just seem slow and lethargic when we defend a corner. It's not great. And we've had so many warning signs. I mean, straight from the Bristol game, we had warning signs. We utilised it last year as well. I don't think it particularly worked well for us last year. There was a few chances given away. So I think that's something they've got to look at during this break and see what we can do to alter it. Other than, you know, going man for man, there's not much else we can do, but I hope it's something they take on board.
Yeah, and it's just the goal that came in the Forest game, they didn't make a pretty good start at all to the game, and I thought we were quite sprightly, and I felt that we were actually in control at times. It was a bit scrappy, and no one could really put lots of passes together, but you could see in the first half why Forest were perhaps down there, Andy.
Yeah, they didn't start very well at all. we had Chris on, the Nottingham Forest fan, and he alluded to that they were in poor form, and the first half showed that, and so I was quite surprised when they took the lead.
Yeah, and it sort of ping ponged around, didn't it, the box. Do you think there was something that more that could have been done about that goal? I mean, there was a couple of players probably out of position. It looked like we didn't play the offside trap, obviously, but we were all appealing for offside. Yeah. And I think it was Rose that kept the man on.
Mm. Yeah, it was a long ball into the box. And like you said, it ping-ponged around and it just fell to the man, McKenna, and he put it in the net. He was in acres of space, wasn't he? No one was around him. And he put it in the empty net. It was not particularly good convicted defending, was it? It needed to be better, needed to be truer, to be honest, and get the ball out of the box. And I don't know why he was in so much space, to be honest with you. Again, poor defending by the Sky Blues, in my opinion.
Is that schoolyard defending all running towards the ball?
Yeah, it did seem that everyone saw the ball. The other thing that I noticed watching back on the highlights was that Giles was, I think he is used as a player that is like the attacker. Perhaps because of his pace, that he was left on the box. But his man, a Forest player came straight past him, and that's what the first ricochet when the shot came in. I just think, could he have been a bit tighter or seen the man, running from behind him? It was just, I know we need that get out ball from corners, and that's what Giles is there to do. But I just felt that we weren't sharp enough. Again, we were second to that. The ball.
I mean, you can look at highlights and pick out faults all the time, can't you? Watching it over and over again. But at the end of the day, we've got to clear our lines. It's as simple as that. And we haven't had much luck this season. And once again, it's sort of bit us on the arse with the cannon, double cannon back into the mixer. And you know, they're going to finish that. It's simple as that. He's on his own just outside the 6 yard box. But yeah, we've talked about luck quite a lot this year, but end of the day, you're the makers of your own destiny at times, and we've got to make our own luck at some point this year.
Yeah, and a player that's come back into the fold is Max Biamu for Mark Robbins. He hit the post, Andy, and it was actually really unlucky. The ball was played through to him, and it was a instinctive shot on his left, from his left foot.
Yeah, I thought it was a decent effort. You know, when I was watching the game, I thought it was a decent effort, and it was unlucky that he came off the post. But then I was looking at Twitter, and then a lot of the supporters saying it was a gilt-edged chance and he's got a score there. Well, I think it's a little bit more difficult than that.
It was a tight angle on his wrong foot. He's not left-footed, is he?
No, he's not. And it was a good effort by Max. And he's been getting a lot of criticism by the Sky Blue Army recently, saying, is he up to the task? And let's be honest, whatever you think about Max, since he's come back in the team, whatever you think about him, we look more likely to score more goals. So
yeah, I think I'd say to the Sky Blue Army there is that he's a player that's only just come back into the fold. Yeah. Everyone else
has had
10 games to get, up to speed, up to level. Giles, as you know, he's started nearly every game, hasn't he?
Yeah.
As opposed to Max, that's only just literally come, he's training, of course, but he's not, he's not played much championship football. And of course, he's come into the side now, and that's mainly because of injuries to other players. But I think he's done a good job. And I think that it's very difficult to come from League One, curtailed league months and months ago, to his first competitive proper football outside of under 23s. I know that he played in the cup game, but against championship opposition, he's got to have some more time to find his feet, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And the question you have to ask yourself is, do we look more likely to score when he's in the team? And have we scored more goals when he's in the team? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, it's very fickle, isn't it? Everyone just looks at the stats, he hasn't scored. But, I mean, what does he do at the top end of the pitch for everybody else? And we look so much better with an extra person there for Godden, for Walker. And we've just looked more of a threat up that top end of the pitch.
He looks a bit out of his depth at times, doesn't he, with his touch and his pace, for me anyway. And I'm sure, I don't want to put any words onto people's mouths. But at the same time, you can't fault that effort. Like you said, he puts himself about a bit at the top of the park and he's making things happen, isn't he?
There's a lot of players at the top end of the pitch who haven't got much of a touch, Dave. You know, and have made careers out of it, I think of the likes of like Andy Carroll, for instance, horrific touch, horrific, but scores goals.
Yeah.
And does a lot for the team, you know. I'm not saying Max Biam is in the same mould as £30 million Andy Carroll, obviously, but, you know, going off your point of he doesn't have much of a touch. Okay, potentially not, but what he does for everybody else is incredible. You know, the movement, his actual movement on the pitch is great, because it allows Godden or Walker to get more into the game and to do what they do best.
Yeah.
But I mean, the chance, it was a really good chance. It's the first time we sort of broke as a team, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we all went, the whole of the attacking side of our team went up the pitch together. And we broke at a really nice pace, and it was a great ball by Hamer as well. So, you know, that was a good sign at that point in the game.
I think if you look at Biamo, since he's come in this team, we've scored, seven goals in three games?
Yeah.
That answers your story, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah, of course. And so we did
get off his back, Sky Blue Army.
Yeah. Go on, Dean.
No, carry on.
I was just saying, and that sort of seemed to, you know, spur the Sky Blues on. And we did get level for a really well-worked team goal. What impressed you the most about this, Dean?
I think the first pass from McFadden's like Perlo, wasn't he? Unbelievable. Absolute ping out to the air, to the right-hand side. And McCallum does really well. He sort of feints to go down the line, and the midfielder or left-back, I'm not sure it was, just bought the dummy completely.
Yeah.
And a great whip into the box. And O'Hare, he's always on the move, O'Hare, which is what I like about him most. And a brilliant glancing header. Fantastically worked goal.
They were expecting it to go back post, weren't they?
Yeah, because he
continued his run.
You look at the two central defenders, they sort of go back towards, I think it was Biamu, potentially the sort of the back stick, and they're sort of, you know, magnetised towards him, because obviously being the big fella, and nobody clocks a run of Callum O'Hare. And a great goal, brilliant goal.
Andy, anything to add with that?
Yeah, like Dean said, McFadden's ball was absolutely tremendous, wasn't it? It was a great ball out. And then McCallum's whip was brilliant. And I quite like McCallum's celebration after the goal. Now he just walked off. Just
Just
basically thought, yeah, that's me.
That's what I do.
That's what I do. And then walked off to the back to the left back, the right back spot. So yeah, that was good confidence by McCallum. I like that. And yeah, great goal by O'Hare. He was on the move, and you know, not renowned for his heading, but it was a good header in the back of the net, wasn't it? And I liked his knee. I always like a knee slide celebration, and even better when the fans aren't there and you can hear them go, whoa. So, yeah, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, you did, didn't he? He literally screamed joy, maybe relief, perhaps, because he's been struggling to find his feet, I think, a little bit at times. And obviously, he's been brought in at the expectation of adding to the goals tally of the Sky Blues. And, of course, he was very happy to got that. And like I say, a brilliant, well-worked team goal. And McCallum, again, proving that he's, you know, pure championship class. We dominated the second half, Andy, and had a few more chances to snatch a late winner.
Yeah, we did. Biamo had a header, and then obviously Ostergaard had a header as well, which was saying, I think Callum O'Hare went through as well, which was just went past across the box, didn't he, as well. So, yeah, we were really, really on top, and we just needed to be a bit more clinical to get the 3 points.
That's been our problem, isn't it? How many chances are we creating this year and we just don't finish it off? I would go as far to say we've probably created more chances in the last 3-4 games this year than the rest of them combined, just because of how free-flowing we are with that second person up the top end of the pitch.
Yeah, it's definitely opened up the pitch more for the midfield, I think, to get involved as well now.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you don't score, you don't win matches. It's as simple as that. You know, we're the makers of our own downfall in that way. We're creating, but you know, just not tucking them in, and that's our main issue. And I'm sure if we had tucked them in, we wouldn't be in the position we are now. For just this game, but you know, I'm thinking 2-3 other games as well where we had opportunities, the likes of Middlesbrough, the likes of Barnsley, where you know, we could be in a completely different position, but here we are in the doldrums, as it seems.
Yeah, exactly. We've just sung the praises, obviously, of Biamu since he's come back in the team. He had a header a bit late on, Dean. Do you think he should have done better here?
Yeah, a great ball into the box on that free kick on the right side. I'm not sure who whipped it in, but yeah, for me, that's pretty much a free header. He's only got direct into one of the corners, and it's a simple goal. But, you know, like, what can you say? It just sort of goes to show it's the old Coventry City way. You know, how many chances we create and we just don't put them away. You know, it's like a broken record, isn't it?
We've smashed to smithereens, Dan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's been played that much.
Yeah, it's just not going our way, obviously, at the moment. And you know, the sucker punch, obviously, at the end.
Yeah, Andy. Just before we move on to that, and I'm sure you'll both have thoughts on the penalty decision, but Ostergaard peeled off at the sort of back post, didn't he? Mm. And he had a header. He seemed to have done everything right.
Yeah, apart from score, Dave. Yeah, yeah, he did. He did. He got himself in a great position on the back post, and he put it across the keeper, which you always teach people to do with a header across the box. And yeah, it was a decent save. Needed to be a bit more further in the corner, and the keeper wouldn't have had a prayer, would he? But it was a decent chance. But again, needs to be a bit more clinical, if I'm being extra harsh.
He's going to get one this season.
He's still looking for his first goal, isn't he? He will. Yeah, he will. He's a good defender, and he's dangerous from set pieces, and he will notch soon, hopefully.
Yeah, and then McFadden from spraying World Cup willies across the pitch. On to the penalty decision, Dean. Like, it's one of those, isn't it, where we played that game and it felt to me that we'd be really disappointed with a draw. We were really pushing, but you thought that, you know, they've given everything. They've, you know, we just mentioned Ostergaard, we mentioned Bjarmo, we were throwing the kitchen sink at it. Nottingham Forest looked like they were wavering, and it looked like 3 points were there for the taking, and we may just have to settle for the one. But a bad pass initially by Bjarmo, of course, which put us on the back foot. And then McFadden has, you know, brought down Lyle Taylor, who of course, made a bit of a meal of it. He seemed to me going away from the goal. I mentioned on Twitter that we seem to have enough players back covering. Was it a needless penalty? Is there anything that McFadden, you know, I'd heard a lot, you know, we did the live, didn't we? And straight after, there was a lot of concern about BMU's back pass, and it was his fault, really. But do you think from there were still a lot of things that could have happened to have stopped?
Yeah, that pass happens at their end of the pitch. So, you know, we've still got another half of the pitch, and a lot of stuff happens in that half of the pitch to stop that penalty from even happening. But it's daft from McFadden, no doubt about it. But in the heat of the moment, he's always going to attempt to challenge there.
I'm trying to go back though, Dean. I'm thinking it's not the first time now, is it? Not. I don't mean last season, Rotherham. I mean this season. Was it QPR?
Peterborough last season.
Was it QPR this season?
Yeah, QPR. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
He makes rash decisions.
He's almost a carbon copy, isn't it?
Because he's got no pace.
Yeah, he gets caught out, and you think really his experience should give him that extra 2 or 3 yards of pace, mm-hmm. you know? But he just seems out of sorts a little bit at the moment for me.
Dean, heat in the moment, I understand, and people make decisions, but you did then just touch on his experience, and he must know that Lyle Taylor's left right-footed.
Yeah, but 96 minutes, Dave, you're blowing out your arsehole. You know, it's yeah. difficult to sort of, you know, still be at the top end of your game. You know,
for me, though, 96, yeah.
Tired legs.
Yeah,
why is he leaving that much space in behind?
Well, because
we're attacking,
weren't we?
Yeah, well, you've got to need a bit more experience.
We were pushing it, weren't we? We had a bit of a warning sign just before, but we were pushing. We're obviously clearly agreed with 1 point away from home at Forest, and was pushing for the full three, and we've been, you know, caught out. Obviously, once that back pass, we're all backpedaling. I just think it to me feels like communication. I just feel that if he gets a shout there, you know, stand him up, left footed. Going nowhere, going away from goal, he only needed a touch and he went down. Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, Morosi showed, of course, Dean, that he was unhappy with Lyle Taylor.
Yeah, the decision he's made is poor. I mean, I'm just watching it again now, and we've obviously got plenty of men back to stop that chance from, you know, potentially even happening.
So, but is there talk? You know, is he we've all played probably poor levels of football, but the chap.
You speak for yourself.
Speak for yourself, Dave.
Compared to the Championship, lads, I'm saying.
Yeah.
So,
mean the Coventry and District Sunday League under 13s and not the Championship level?
Is this what we're doing? Are we going to get it out and start measuring?
Depends where you're going to start measuring, Dave.
No, but I know Andy has played a decent level of football, and Dean, I'm not sure of your exploits on the grassroots. But what I'm saying is, any standard of football, I'd have expected people to be screaming there, stand up, don't dive in, don't do anything rash, and yet we have. And I know tired legs, but I just, there must have been people shouting to say that. We're covering. We're behind. There was not a Forest player in sight, other than Lyle Taylor.
There has been a few mishaps in communication between this year. You know, people getting in each other's way. So, you know, maybe the communication isn't up to scratch at the moment between them. I mean, that you might have a good point there, but you know, still, don't make the challenge. Really, you know, it's the end of the day, don't make the challenge. But you know, there's so many different intricacies on. This period of play, we could be here for hours talking about it. You know, should the pass have gone into the middle of park?
No, of course not.
Should Michael Rose been that far up the pitch on the right hand side to not give him a pass? I don't know who the other was. It Ostergaard was in the pass was originally to. Was he too far back? You know, there's so many little intricacies that we could look back on.
Yeah, I mean, it should have gone right back, shouldn't it? Play the way
Sheaf was in the middle of the park on his own.
Yeah.
So you know that they're the small. The small things that are going to cost us, aren't they? Come the end of the season. Well, let's hope they don't cost us, but let's hope we don't look back on this kind of decision and think, oh God, that was our downfall.
Yeah. And there wasn't a cooler man on the pitch, was there, Andy, than Lyle Taylor? You'd love to have a striker, I think, like that. That just, he's very arrogant, isn't he? But with it, he's obviously got some quality. And to do that in the 96th minute, last kick of the, you know, the game.
Wasn't even in the game though, was he?
No, but just coming back before we talk about Lyle Taylor, is that...
Well, we don't have to talk about it.
No, I will talk about him, because we can talk about him. But just, I don't understand why Fads just doesn't stand him up and let him shoot. Why is he making a challenge in the box?
It is a pace thing, isn't it? Yeah, but why didn't he just... He's worried he's going to shoot, but what we've said is...
And you trust your goalkeeper to save it?
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Left-footed, like you just know Michael, that he, Michael you know Rose, he's not left-footed.
Michael Rose did exactly the same thing for Blackburn's penalty. Trust your keeper to make a save. Don't understand it. Really poor by Fads. But going back to Lyle Taylor, yeah, he took it away beautifully, didn't he? And he was always going to score. He was never going to miss. No. And he had a few choice words with Morosi as well, didn't he? After the penalty spot, which is.
Yeah.
Always happens between keeper and striker, as I can tell you. But he won the day, and they, you know, he's laughing all the way down the Trent, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And moving on though, to before we go to the Watford game, who stuck out for you, Dean, in this fixture, and who would have been your sort of star man?
Callum O'Hare for me. Yeah, he was just everything that was good about Cov going forward was pretty much through him. So yeah, I think it was one of his better games this year. And he seems to come into his own a little bit more. Now he's dropped back into the middle of the park and he's got that link between the midfield and the forward. So I'm going to go for him.
Andy?
I'm going to go for McCallum. I thought he played really well considering he played out of position on the right-hand side. I thought he had a really good game and his assist was fantastic for O'Hare. His celebration afterwards was fantastic. And his general play was fantastic. So, McCallum for me.
He was fantastic.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I completely agree as well. I think he's been a breath of fresh air since he's come into the fold, and I think he gives us an attacking outlook, you know, going forward with such pace. But I don't feel as worried with him at the back as well.
How mad is it looking back now? We were all questioning the decision to bring him in, and why? Yeah. Why did we bring him in?
I'm not sure we were questioning it. I think we just felt that there was other areas that could have been improved.
It's just worked out well that he's taken to life in the right back position.
We're going to need him, Dean, because Dabo doesn't. He's had another operation, hasn't he? So he's looking. Yeah. He's struggling.
He's season, isn't it? That is, I think, and not in any way. It might not be a season, you know.
Season defining more.
Yeah,
than...
or I mean, it might not go on for the duration of the season, but I think he's going to find it hard to get back up to match fitness and also get these two chaps out the side, or one of them, you know, with Giles obviously playing on the left. I think he's really up against it, but I'm sure he'll come back stronger and better for it. But it is a big shame and a big loss.
Yeah, because he played well against Reading, didn't he? Dabs. It's a real shame. And obviously, he was our star player last year. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we can get him back sooner rather than later. But in the meantime, McCallum's more than good enough to fill in at right back, as he's shown.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Most recently, the Sky Blues slipped to defeat again, this time at the hands of Watford. And it was another late penalty, but... what did the stats say about the game, Andy?
Yeah, again, they were pretty similar to the Forest stats, quite similar between both teams. We had 48% possession. We had 13 shots compared to their 12, which, again, is decent amount of shots, again, and showing how much better we're doing compared to, like, 3 against Middlesbrough. So we're doing a lot better in that side of things regarding stats. For shots, 468 attempted passes compared to 512 for them, and we 47 duels won compared to their 49. So yeah, quite even, really, Dave.
Yeah, exactly, and it certainly seemed an even game for majority of it. Some forced changes by Mark Robbins. We talked much about the two up top, and that continued, but it was Biamu and Walker, and McFadden dropped to the bench. What did you make of the changes Robbins made, Dean?
Yeah, I mean, we were all questioning whether Walker, because we heard that he's going to be injured, right? So it was a nice surprise to see him in the lineup an hour before kickoff. So that made things a little bit easier for us, I thought, because I don't think he would have gone with Bakayoko and Biamu together. I don't think that's, as a partnership, that wouldn't work.
Do you think he'd go back to one up top?
He would have probably gone to one up top, yeah, and kept Biamu in with maybe Jamie Allen and O'Hare playing off him, back to sort of the old school way of playing.
And having two shots on goal.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. Because we would have been overrunning in midfield.
Absolute no man's land between the midfield and the strikers.
Yeah, because £15 million Kapuwe and £10 million Cleverly and potential... In Ghana to be a world superstar as well, overrunning our midfield. So, but it was good to see Walker there. Hoyon was always going to come back in. I think he's been outstanding so far this year. Great to see him with the armband as well. Potential future club captain once Liam Kelly sort of vacates the position. I was quite excited with the team we put out. I was happy with it. But one thing that sticks out to me is that bench now. You know, losing like Dabo and no Godden, the bench looks a little bit lightweight for me. It's a bit void of quality.
We'll come on to it obviously at the end of the Watford, but it hopefully there's some time for that to repair. I'm not sure on the Godden injury. Does anyone know what
torn tendon?
Torn tendon. So Robin said he hopes him to be back for after the international break.
Yeah, I doubt he'll be back for Birmingham because the tendon should be about 3 weeks. So it'll be the week after, I suspect. But if we can get Walking, Cottonwall and Biamu, there was really, really encouraging signs from the game that they sort of struck up a partnership. So I'm quite happy with those two. So we just need to keep them injury free for now.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Dr. Atkinson. You're welcome. 3 weeks for Godden, and hopefully Shipley as well could come back into the fold. You've got Biamu that you mentioned there, and he had a great chance, a bit like Wednesday night, Andy. Does he need to start putting these away?
Yeah, absolutely. One criticism about Biamu is his finishing ability. He doesn't
unless
seem
it's
to,
a worldie.
Yeah, unless it's a bicycle kick, yeah, or a worldie. Yeah, he needs to add that side to his game, definitely. But I still like the other side of his games, which, you know, but he is a striker and he should have scored that. But I just want to talk about Giles on this because I thought his delivery into the box for that was absolutely amazing, and him going forward is a real plus for us. He's great going forward,
and Max done well to get in front of his man as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and the only thing missing was the ball rippling the net, wasn't it? And
I suppose the only argument you could have is that he was quite near the corner of the 6 yard box there, you know, so he wasn't central goal. Yeah. He was more to the left, but like you say, 6 yards. He's only got to make decent contact on target, isn't he? And that's straight through, definitely from what we saw, straight through Ben Foster.
Straight through Ben Foster, so he could put it on his YouTube channel. That'd be nice. It would have been nice. But no, 100% he should have scored, but the ball from Giles was delicious.
Yeah. We went in, obviously, all even in half-time, Dean, and you'd have to say that Robins would be pleased with the first half performance.
I think we're all over the moon, really. You know, we weren't making a show of ourselves for sure. And for all of Watford's threats, you know, we've talked about it for weeks, potentially. We didn't look out of place at all in that game. It was a bit scrappy, wasn't it, at times, but we had a few good chances. They had a couple of chances. You know, we kept the ball pretty well, I thought, in that first half. There was times the decision making was a little bit skew-whiff, I would say. But overall, I was very pleased and pretty excited with what we could do in the second half if we were going to push on.
Yeah, and Watford's Seamer, he was a handful all game, and he did actually help break the deadlock. He got to the byline, crossed low, and the ball was bundled home by Gray. Any arguments with the defensive positioning or defensive play with that one, Andy?
No, apart from it was dreadful. It was awful. Straight from one ball to the left-hand side. McCallum was totally out of position. Seamer got in behind him and he squared it. Ostergaard is in some kind of weird position and it's almost
tangled in his feet, didn't
he? Yeah, and almost could have just cleared it. It was just, I don't think his position was bad. I think he just got it caught totally under his feet.
Yeah.
And it just rolled in off Gray into the net. It was a real mess and terrible, terrible schoolboy defending. And the stats don't lie. The amount of goals we've conceded, 23 goals in 11 games, that's 2 goals a game, is just appalling.
It's worrying that.
And if we don't sort that out, we're going to go down.
Because we're not scoring loads, are we? Buckets at the other end. Whereas there was times last season that, don't get me wrong, we won 1-2-0, but even if they scored 3, you thought we'd score 4, didn't you?
It's a
different
ball
game, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right there, Dave. It's not going to happen in the Championship, is it, Dave? If you concede in 2 a game, you're going to go down. So we need to sort that out quickly.
It's a contrast to last year. I mentioned it on the live yesterday, a complete stark contrast. I mean, we built last season on a solid defensive base. You know, we didn't concede that many goals, in all honesty. So, you know, that seemed to be completely thrown out the window. Now, is that because it's a different golfing class? Can we not deal with the pace of how teams attack us? There's question marks there, obviously. So, you know, we have to sort that.
Did you hear Robins' comments after the game, Dean?
No, I haven't listened to anything.
He went absolutely. He was very scathing about the defence, and he basically says that he wants warriors. He wants people that put their bodies on the line. He wants more aggression. He's saying a lot of it is just soft marking.
He obviously listened to me on the podcast last week.
Yeah, absolutely. He listens to you, then he comes on CWR. Yeah. You know that thing. Yeah, absolutely. But no, he was scathing, and he's not happy at all with the defence, so, which is a good thing, because at least he can see the problem.
And he's got a fully right to be in that mood, because it's awful, if I'm honest. Really, really bad. And we need to change that sharpish. We said in the preseason pod, and we have to. The only way we stay up is if we score a boatload of goals, which potentially isn't going to happen, or we're solid at the back. And at the moment, we're neither or, are we?
No.
And you've got to make it difficult to be beat, haven't you, as well? And the ways that we're conceding are, you know, giving away penalties, perhaps, you know, quite lax defending, and some set pieces. Definitely, you're sort of shooting yourself in the foot, which I know we've said quite a lot of times. The game at Watford, of course, then started raining goals, and annoyingly, actually, Andy and Dean as well. Annoyingly, we are coming back, aren't we, into games so much, obviously, because most of the time we're going down. So you know, we've got great stats at coming back into games and from behind, but at the end of the day, if you're going to concede as many goals as we have, that's going to be your case all the time. But a bizarre sort of slash incredible headed finish, Dean, by Amer.
Yeah, I mean, bizarre is the word, isn't it? I mean, he originally takes this free kick as well. Which is, and then he makes that dart.
They do tell you to follow your pass, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure completely follow it directly into the box, but yeah, fantastic. I mean, the awareness he's got there, it just shows how talented he is. His match awareness and game awareness is sublime. To see Foster coming off his line and to head that ball back with such venom, and, you know, technically so good as well. Just, it's like, I don't know, it's like, he heads it hard, but also cushions it at the same time.
Yeah.
To loop in. It's fantastic. I mean, technically,
and he knew
it's just
it was
sublime.
Him, didn't he? As soon as it left his
head. Yeah,
like,
he was already running.
He was already running to celebrate, wasn't
I think
he?
I think he had his arm up in the old Shearer pose as he headed it.
Yeah. He's obviously watched the Premiership years.
So, I mean, a brilliant goal. And that, I think that sort of lifted the confidence of the team.
Yeah,
as well. And if you watch back at the highlights, just listen to the roar from our bench. It's unbelievable. It's like a crowd was there.
Yeah,
it shows the togetherness is there.
I think that was just Adi Vivash, actually.
It probably was. Yeah, or trying to get him to try to calm Robbins down. Like,
it sounds
like
a shout for a cone, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you've been on the piss on the night out, you get that cone. Adi's just natural voice is that loud.
Yeah, as long as it's not a dunce cone.
Yeah, exactly.
Could stick those on a few of them at the moment. But yeah, it's a brilliant goal. So yeah, well deserved. And you know, we definitely didn't deserve to be 1-0 down.
No.
That's for sure.
No.
So it was great to see us get that goal, and we reacted quite quickly to the goal, and then we reacted even quicker to take the lead, obviously.
Yeah, great link up play for the second goal. Biamu and Walker, an instinctive finish as well, Andy, by Walker.
Yeah, top class finish, and that's what we've been looking for from him. Good ball by Hamer again from the start upfield, and then Biamu does what he does best. He holds the ball up and then played Walker in nicely with a header, and the finish first time was brilliant, wasn't it? Full of confidence. That didn't look like a player who hadn't scored for us yet, did it?
Yeah, because if someone had took it down and run, you'd worry he probably would have got tackled, or, you know, but there was no, and Foster was obviously caught out by it because, you know, not as much as he was for the previous goal, but he was equally as sort of surprised that it came in that early, and he just couldn't get down quick enough, could he?
No, he couldn't. He first time finishes always look good as well, don't they? And that was just, he just looked full of confidence, and let's fingers crossed he goes on a bit of a run now, because we could do with that, couldn't we?
Yeah, exactly. And it looked like it. Funny enough, I was out. I didn't watch it at home. I watched it on my phone, and I was walking, and we were in the park, and I literally screamed. People looked at me like I was absolutely mental, and I just said,
"And that's because you are."
Yeah,
nothing to do with the football.
But he said, "Oh, what's the game?" And I said, "Well, it's Coventry, mate." Actually, he expected it to be like Arsenal or something. I said, "It's Coventry. We don't go 2-1 up against Watford very often away from home." So, the whole park knew that Walker had slotted that one home.
As long as you didn't say who when you said Coventry.
Yeah. No. Exactly. No. But unfortunately, very quickly, like we said, raining goals. Again, a set piece. Again, a free header. Who is it at fault, Dean, for the equaliser?
Whoever sets us up for corners. Simple as that. The ball goes in between three blokes. You know, if they're allowed to move from that sort of position, then we head that ball away. But because they're just sort of, they've obviously been told, like, they're like statues.
Higham's head, isn't it?
Yeah, and it goes in between three players, and it's a free header. And let's just stop. Can we just stop the zonal marking?
Yeah.
Now, right, just nip it in the bud. Let's get a hashtag going. We need to revolt.
Let's get 100,000 signatures. We can actually debate. We can get it debated in government.
Oh, right, I'm starting the petition right now.
100,000, and Boris will say, you know, after his tier 1, 2, and 3, he can roll out whether or not Robin should play zonal marking. But
as long as we don't put like different types of marking into different tiers.
Yeah.
Zonal's tier 3.
Our defenders are confused enough as it is, Dean.
Yeah, I know. After the last two games,
I'm not sure there's enough tears left.
Yeah. There's a lot of tears from the Sky Blue fans. There's a few salty ones as well. Still, I talk about the fans quite a lot. Just stop with this whole Robin's out malarkey. It's absolutely just ridiculous. I think they're trolling at this point, and I'm biting, obviously. So they win. Well done. But yeah. Robins won't be sacked.
No, of course. Moving on to the unfortunate incident of the penalty. Late on again. No chance after that really to do anything about it. A proper sickener and a real kick in the teeth. And again, I think you can look around the dressing room and there must be people just thinking, you know, how has this happened again? You know, how have we conceded a late penalty? And O'Hare was a bit unlucky, Andy.
Oh, I don't know, Dave. You got your hands that high in the air. I know it's just short distance where it's come from, but I was watching the Leicester-Wolves game earlier, and there was a penalty in that where it was drilled really close.
In Liverpool as well.
Yeah, and if you've got your hands now in a unusual position, especially as high as Callum O'Hare, he looked like he was going to ask a question at school. You know, what's he doing?
But really keen because he put two hands.
Yeah, because he put two. Like,
definitely,
you know,
the answer.
It's me miss. Yeah, I know. It's Cal. Answer the question. But yeah, it's just, he just gave the like McFadden against Forest. He's given the referee a decision to make, and he was always going to give it, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's always a penalty. I just think that it's not completely unnatural, is it, Dean?
No, but it's the whole talk about this season, isn't it? The handball rule, not just in the Premier League, the Championships, it's across all the divisions. Don't give the referee a decision to make. There's no need to be jumping with your hands up in the air like he's on a roller coaster. There's no need for that. And is it natural? No, it's not natural to do that.
Scream if you want to get relegated.
Yeah. Scream if you want to get relegated. Hold on tight. That's not the whole natural thing. It's not a natural move to move your hands up there. So, you know, it's a definite stonewall penalty for me. I don't know what he's doing, if I'm honest. It's just, again, individual errors are costing us dearly.
Naive.
Maybe a lack of experience in the team now is coming to bite us. Do we need a Liam Kelly in there just to sort everybody out and point a few fingers and shout and say a few things?
Who would you replace him with?
We discussed it last night.
Sheaf's been absolutely outstanding, and so is Hamer. Yeah. So who do you replace Kelly with?
So you don't replace those. So if you take out O'Hare from the team, you lose your link then between your forward and your midfield. So it's so
complicated. And if you bring Kelly in, you can't go two up top. Well, you could actually, couldn't you?
You could. If you're giving Hamer the sort of to move forward, but that's not his natural game, is it?
Yeah.
He's the guy sitting there, picking the passes, breaking up the play.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see the end of Kelly and McFadden soon.
It's a, yeah. I mean, potentially, but I'd be very sad to see.
Sad to see both. I think that experience is needed, and it's, you know, we can sit on the pod, can't we, as week after week and slate individual errors and mistakes. And like you say, 96 minutes in and legs, regardless, are probably going to be tired when you've been chasing around 20 million players, you know, 20 million pound players all for 90 minutes. And that's not an excuse. That's just, you know, a fact, really. But I'd be massively. I think you'd lose a lot of experience, wouldn't you, by losing those two?
I think what I mean by that, I mean, I don't think you'll see them, if everyone's fit, play much. I think they'll be around the dressing room and they've got valuable experience, both of them, Kelly and McFadden, and they've been great for us, don't get me wrong. But I just think if everyone's fit, I don't see them in the starting 11. That's what I mean by that.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And man of the match then, Dean. Quite a few contenders, actually. Giles, McCallum probably had another good game. Obviously, Walker was a great finish, and he was a bit of a handful throughout. Biamu also had chances and played well. Sheaf, again, absolutely fantastic. So a whole host of people it could have been, but who was your star man?
I don't think there was any sort of bad performances, really, from the team. As just a few sort of things let us down, but... I'm going to go. It's a toss-up for me between Hamer and Sheaf, and I think I'm just going to go slightly with Hamer for the absolutely outrageous header, and because he wasn't in the game against Forest, he looked back to his best a little bit on Saturday. So I'm going to go for Gus Hamer.
Yeah, of course, and he looked a lot more disciplined as well than he has in previous fixtures. But I still wince every time he sort of goes anywhere near an opposing player. Andy, anything different?
No, I'm going to go for Hamer, and obviously Sheep was really good as well. He was very impressive again, and he's becoming a vital player in our team now, Sheaf.
Yeah. He's got to be one of the first on the team sheet, hasn't he?
Absolutely, the way he's playing. But I would have given, just because if you score a header from 25 yards, you've got to be man of the match, surely.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree. But I a special mention for Sheaf, because I think that he was struggling with before was that his position in play wasn't always the greatest. He didn't seem to be... I don't know if he was too far forward, but he seemed to be, players were getting in behind him and he didn't seem to be marking his man. And I think touches and stuff were bouncing off him, and he played quite a lot of misplaced passes, but he's definitely found his feet now, hasn't he? And you can see that the talent is there, and you can see of an Arsenal academy.
Definitely. Yeah, I think he was a bit off it, to be honest, because he was rusty, wasn't he? He hasn't played... Because obviously you played for Doncaster, didn't you?
Yeah, I was trying to say, he's playing a really defensive Doncaster team last year, who played completely different to how we play.
And also their season, well, like our season was curtailed, wasn't it? So, you know, he's been a bit rusty, and then we signed him late as well, didn't we? So I just think that had more to do with it than him being not particularly good player. I just think he was just rusty and getting up to speed.
He's played a little bit more ball playing as well, hasn't he?
Oh, he's fantastic.
And he's locker. Yeah, he's got that in his locker, yeah. And like, it's great to see the Boo Boys being quiet now, because
you know, he was dubbed a completely defensive player as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's got more than that in his locker. He's a very, very technically astute footballer. I mean, Arsene Wenger was raving about him as one of the next wonder kids. So, you know, I'm going to trust Arsene Wenger's judgment over somebody on Facebook, to be honest.
Yeah,
and I think to be keeping a player of Liam Kelly out of the team just shows how good he has been, doesn't it? I think
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. We won't preview the fixtures after the international break, because it's looking ahead quite far, to be honest, and anything can happen. There's a few players to come back into the side, notably Shipley. And as you mentioned earlier on, Godden will also be possibly in contention, although I think he'd probably struggle to start straight back in the squad after the people that have stepped in to fill his shoes. But Dean, with those games in mind, with Mark Robbins having what he will have, we expect to have available, what changes would you be making, and what would you be liking to see from the Sky Blues in terms of anything different from, you know, the last two fixtures that we've played, you know, bar giving away penalties in the sort of last 10 minutes?
Well, I think the team he put out on Saturday was really good. I thought they did really well. I think it's going to come down now to, you know, can we cut out these individual errors? Because that's what's costing us, really. You know, it's every single game, but there's an individual who makes an error, and it's our downfall.
We've been more than in the games, haven't we?
100%. Yeah. We have not looked out of place, other than, I would say, okay, the Blackburn game, we're not even going to count that because we were down to 10 men. It was always going to be difficult for that long period. The Brentford game, we went up against a side worth about £80 million. Bristol, we held our own. We were the better side for the majority of that game. What other game?
QPR was a funny one, but we had that. We showed that determination, and I think, like we mentioned a lot on the live and the pod after that game, the tempo was much better. We were much. We didn't look like, not a side that rolled over, but we've seemed a little bit. I think we've looked a bit scared almost to perform at times in the earlier games, but we definitely don't look that now, do we, Andy?
No, we don't. And that's the one. Well, the main positive about this season so far is that I think, apart from Brentford and Bournemouth second half, that we haven't been outplayed by anybody. And obviously Blackburn was a problem because we got the man sent off, but we've always been in the game. We're making chances now since Bayamo's come in, and we're playing two up top. So it's not all doom and gloom. We are competing at this level. We're not getting outplayed by people. We are starting to score goals now, which is great. So that's the positive we've got to cling on to. The only big negative is that we're conceding too many goals. So what we need to do in this international break is work on that, improve that, and we'll be fine. We will stay in this division. If we don't, then we'll get relegated. But if we can if we can tighten up the defence, Dave, we will be perfectly fine in this division.
With what we expect to come back, who could you see being in contention for the Birmingham game?
I don't think Dabo's going to be fit, so I'd play the same defence as what it has been.
So McFadden would still sit on the bench.
Yeah, because I thought our defence against Reading was good. But obviously they need to work on that. And if they don't work on it and they don't show more commitment, especially marking from set pieces, etc., then McFadden will come back in. So I'd give them one more go against Birmingham. And what I would do is if Shipley's available, I'd bring Shipley back into the midfield, because I like the balance we have with Shipley on the left, Hamer on the right, and then Sheaf in the middle.
So O'Hare would drop out.
Yeah. Then I'd play the two up front. I don't think Godden's going to be fit.
No.
And I'd play Walker.
He'd be on the bench, won't he?
Yeah, Walker and Bayamo. That's my team.
Dean, what would you be doing?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much echo those sentiments, to be honest. I just feel like we're coming into a very season-defining period now. You know,
definitely.
We've got the likes of Birmingham, Cardiff, Derby, Rotherham, Luton, Wickham, Huddersfield, Wednesday. These are the teams we're going to be battling against at the bottom of this division. No question about it. You know, if we can come out of December, you know, with our heads held high and a boatload of points, then there's no doubt about it, we'll stay in the division. We are better than three of those sides. No doubt in my mind. But we just need to show that now rather than it being on paper. Squad wise, O'Hare's a very good impact sort of subs to have. But then I also question whether Robbins makes his subs at the right times as well. So that's in the back of my mind.
Yeah,
and I think O'Hare's got that X factor, hasn't he? He's the one that's going to change a game at the drop of a hat. So it'll be tough to sort of drop him out of the side. I personally just feel like we're a better side with Liam Kelly in it. But then we have the question mark on how the hell do we get Liam Kelly into the team?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And then if we do have Kelly out for O'Hare, how do we link up the play? It relies a lot on Bayamo to, if he's still in the side at this point, relies a lot on him for that sort of link and hold up play, and then either Godden or Walker to play off him. And who's to say he won't want to play Godden and Walker at the same time? And if he does, then you don't have that out ball really up the top end of the pitch from back to front. So you'd need someone like O'Hare then to have that link between the attacks and defence. So there's a lot of questions what Mark Robbins has got to figure out. But this international break now is coming at the perfect time for us to do that. We just got to keep everybody upbeat, determined, fit, healthy, And let's see where we go, because
just stay away from people. This COVID's costing us a nightmare. It's like, you know, it's unheard of, isn't it, really? In the other season, you'd lose people to, you know, obviously things like this. And it's, we've been so unlucky with that. You had Walker, didn't you, that couldn't... Was it Walker? And then now, obviously, Shipley as well. It's just, it's a lot. You know, I've not been paying much attention to other teams, but it's a lot of people, isn't it, to have these worries. And then they're seemingly fit, but can't because of come into contact.
It doesn't seem to be happening to a lot of teams in the Championship, if I'm honest. A lot of lower league teams, it seems to be happening too. So, you know, just goes to show our luck again, I suppose.
Yeah.
Somebody's obviously got a pin cushion with Mark Robbins, and they're just, you know, jabbing him in the eye with pins.
It's Steve Evans, if anyone.
Potentially.
If it is a voodoo doll that you've got, yeah. So, but before we go, last point I want to make is we talked about players that have got the X factor. There's a player that's been on the bench a couple of times now, and that is Will Papaga. Andy, do you think it's time that at some point we'll get to see him?
Hope so.
Unleash Papaga.
Yeah, he's a fearless individual, good dribbler. So, yeah, definitely, why not throw him? I'd definitely like to see him thrown on when tired legs are happening. 70, well, no, that's Mark Robbins' sub, sorry. 60 minutes to go.
65.
Give him half an hour. And no, but I'd like to see him and see how he copes at this level. Definitely, Dave. Yeah, he's an exciting prospect.
Same for you, Dean.
Yeah, I mean, there's always one that sort of comes out the woodwork, isn't there, in Coventry City team. Maybe Papaga is the guy, but he needs to be given that opportunity. And he's just got that raw head down, no, doesn't care attitude that might be the difference from us for staying up, basically. You know, he might come off the bench and do some wonderful stuff for us. So we just he needs to be given a chance. That's the thing. And whether Robbins is going to do that in the Championship, I'm not too sure.
Exactly. Well, that is all that we've got time for this evening. Thanks, as usual, chaps, for your contribution.
Pleasure, Dave, mate.
Cheers. Thank you. Enjoy the break.
Listeners, do check out our partners, Shortland Horn, for the latest properties across Coventry. And as always, if you want to join in with a conversation, you just need to use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast on any of our social media channels.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.